ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this is the first part of another Bhagavad Gita Mahatmyam. The sages said, O Sutta, please kindly reiterate to us the glory of Bhagavad Gita as it was spoken long before at the holy place of Narayan Kshetra by the great sage Srila Vyasadeva. Sutta Goswami said, O venerable ones, you have certainly asked the most glorious question. Verily, who can describe the supreme grand glory of Bhagavad Gita, which is the most hidden of all treasures? Certainly, Lord Krishna is in full knowledge of that glory, and Arjuna, the son of Kunti, knows something of its fruit. Vyasadeva, Shukadeva, Yajnavalkya, and the saintly King Janak, they all are somewhat conversant with Bhagavad Gita as well. Apart from them, others who have heard from one another about it are engaged in singing the praises of a tiny fraction of its greatness. All the Upanishads are like the cow personified, and the cowherder boy Sri Krishna is the milker. The son of Pritha is the calf, and the ambrosia of the Gita is the super excellent milk, and the highly intelligent, virtuous souls are its tasters and drinkers. To begin with, I offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who accepted the position of chariot driver of Arjuna, just to distribute this ambrosia of Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of all the three worlds. And that fool who wants to cross over the ghastly ocean of material suffering can do so very easily by taking shelter of the boat of Bhagavad Gita. And that fool who wants to attain liberation by constant yoga practice, without hearing the wisdom of the Gita, is fit to be laughed at even by a child. One who day and night hears and recites the Bhagavad Gita is never to be taken as a mere human being. One who hears Bhagavad Gita is a veritable demigod. In order to enlighten Arjuna with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna Chandra has sung the praises of the supreme principle of bhakti, devotion, both relative and absolute. In this way, the heart is purified by knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, a ladder of 18 chapters, which refutes all other doctrines which propound bhukti, mukti, sense enjoyment and liberation, step by step. The qualification to practice bhakti is thus developed. Bathing in the pure waters of the Gita, the devotees are liberated from contamination of the mundane world. But such an attempt by faithless persons is utterly useless, just like the bathing of an elephant who immediately rolls in the dust after bathing. A person who knows nothing about learning and teaching of Bhagavad Gita is a failure in the duty of the human form of life. Therefore, there is no one more fallen than he or she who does not know the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. One's family, one's practices, conceptions, and one's own birth are thus all condemned for not understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. There is no one more fallen of one who does not know the meaning of Bhagavad Gita, and thus one's beautiful body, personality, opulence, and married life are all condemned. There is no one more fallen than the person who does not know the scripture, Bhagavad Gita. Thus one's undertakings are condemned, one's reputation is condemned, one's worship, charity, and good qualities are also all condemned. A person who does not care for the holy Bhagavad Gita is to be known as a failure in all respects. Thus one's teacher is condemned, one's vows are condemned, one's conviction, austerity, and fame are also condemned. There is no one more fallen than one who does not study the purport of the Gita. And that knowledge which is not sung in Bhagavad Gita should be known as useless, irreligious, offensive to the Veda and Vedanta, and actually demoniac. Therefore, the Gita should be offered all respects at all times and in all places as the inaugurator of all religious wisdom and the spotless essence of all holy scriptures. A person who studies the Gita at the time of holy festival days, especially the fasting day known as Ekadashi, for such a person, whether awake or asleep, moving or still, is never defeated by enemies. One who recites the Bhagavad Gita in the presence of the deity or in the temple of the Supreme Lord or at a temple of Lord Shiva or at a holy place of pilgrimage or on the bank of a holy river, such a person becomes qualified to become the recipient of all good fortune. The son of Devaki, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, cannot be satisfied by anyone's study of the Vedas, charity, sacrifice, pilgrimage, or vows, as much as he is satisfied by the devotional recitation of Bhagavad Gita. The study of the Vedas and Puranas, verily the study of all scriptures, is completed in all respects for one who studies Bhagavad Gita with devotion. The highest perfection of life is attained by one who recites Bhagavad Gita. At a place where yoga meditation is performed, at an exalted holy place, before the deity, and during the performance of sacrifice, especially in the association of devotees. Great sacrifices, such as the Ashvamedha, along with their remunerations, are naturally achieved by one who daily hears and recites Bhagavad Gita. One who attentively hears and sings the glories of the Bhagavad Gita or reiterates its meaning to others, such a person attains to the supreme destination. One who with respect and devotion and according to scriptural regulations makes a gift of this holy book, such a person will have a devoted wife and without a doubt will attain fame, fortune, and good health. Have you studied Bhagavad Gita? Has these things not come to you? Fame, fortune, a devoted wife, good health. Do you have those things? Little? I think you have great amount. So now you know why. One who reads the Bhagavad Gita becomes extremely beloved by those near and dear. Is Vimal not near and dear to everyone? And enjoys great happiness. Are you happy? Therefore, should we continue or stop reading Bhagavad Gita? Right. The misery caused by a curse or black rites can never enter into that house where the Bhagavad Gita is worshipped. In that house, there is never any suffering of the threefold miseries, nor is there ever fear of any type of sickness, curse, sin, or misfortune. In that house, no one is ever born with an infected or deformed body, and those residing there achieve exclusive and continuous devotion in the mood of servitorship to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. A person who is devoted to studying Bhagavad Gita acquires a friendly disposition to all living beings, despite accruing the reactions of one's previous actions in this world. That verse I understand personally. One who is devoted to studying Bhagavad Gita, that person is liberated and happy. Although acting in this world, one is not implicated. Even, listen to this, this is so good. Even if by chance, a person who studies Bhagavad Gita happens to commit extremely horrible sin, one cannot be affected by that. Just as the lotus leaf cannot be touched by even a drop of water. How many now are going to read Bhagavad Gita more seriously? I know I am. That's why I picked this. Now I know I have to read my Bhagavad Gita. Sin arising from offensive behavior or speech, the offense of eating forbidden things, and all kinds of sinful activities incited by the senses, or whether committed knowingly or unknowingly, or in the routine daily activities, all kinds of sin are at once eradicated by devotional recitation of Bhagavad Gita. Although one may accept foodstuffs at all places or charity in all circumstances, the devoted reciter of Bhagavad Gita is distinguished in that he or she remains totally unimplicated by these actions at all times. Even one who, against the injunctions of the scriptures, accepts charity, as many precious jewels as would cover the entire surface of the earth and oceans, such a person becomes as spotless as pure crystal simply by devotional reciting the Bhagavad Gita only once. So, I bring this up because not this Sunday, but the first Sunday in December, the temple, Hare Krishna temple, or some of you say the Culver City temple, the ISKCON temple, they are doing their Bhagavad Gita Yajna. I will be leading the chanting. And we start from verse number 1, and we go through all 700 verses. Takes about 4 hours. I highly recommend that you attend that. I've been doing it now for maybe 10 years. I guarantee if you go from start to finish, at the end, you'll feel like you're levitating. Try it and see. That's December 7th. Starts at 12 noon, goes till 4:30. We do the whole Bhagavad Gita, and I'll be your captain of the ship, guiding you along. A person whose heart is always absorbed in Bhagavad Gita is certainly to be taken as superlatively replete in the performance of sacrifices and the constant repetition of the holy names or mantras. All one's actions are properly adjusted. One becomes a truly learned pundit. Certainly one is fit to be seen. One is truly wealthy. One is truly a yogi and a genuine scholar. Yes, I did not go to college, but I have read many times Bhagavad Gita. A person who reads Bhagavad Gita is a knower of sacrifice, a performer of sacrifice, and a knower of all the Vedas. All the holy places of the universe, such as Prayag, are eternally present wherever the Gita, the eternal book of divine song, is present. The protectors of the body, in the form of demigods, rishis, or yogis, all reside within the body of one who constantly studies Bhagavad Gita. And they are even present at the demise of one's body. Accompanied by his associates, such as Narada and Dhruva, the cowherder boy Lord Sri Krishna personally appears as a guardian wherever the Gita is present. With supreme ecstasy, the Supreme Lord Krishna and his divine consort, Sri Radhika, are graciously present wherever the conception of the Gita is discussed, studied, and taught. I would like everyone to raise your hand. We're going to recite one of the most, if not the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita. Are you ready?
Yes.
Repeat after me. Sarva dharman parityajya. That's not everybody. Mamekam
sharanam braja.
That's a little more. Ahang tvang sarva papebhyo. Mokshayeshyami mashucha. So in that verse, that crucial verse, Krishna tells Arjuna that you should just surrender to me exclusively. Just like a husband and wife, they surrender to each other exclusively. Krishna says, if you do that, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. And then he says, Ma Shucha. Everybody say,
Ma Shucha.
Has three meanings. Don't hesitate. Do it now. Don't worry. There was a song. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Read Gita. That's my version. So don't hesitate. Don't worry. Don't fear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Chandra, would you like to sing? Now in this same Bhagavad Gita Mahatmya, we will now hear from Krishna himself. Listen to what Krishna himself says about his own book, Bhagavad Gita. O Pandava, I shall now utter those holy names of Bhagavad Gita, and by singing these, all sins are immediately destroyed. Now hear these confidential names from me. So I would like everyone to repeat. So these are the names Krishna himself uses to describe his book. First one, please repeat. Ganga.
Gita.
Gita.
Savitri.
Sita.
Sita.
Satya.
Satya.
Prativrata, Brahmavali, Brahmavidya, Trisandhya, Muktagehini, Ardhamratra, Chidananda, Bhavagni, Brantinashini, Vedatrayi, Parananda, and the last one, Tatvartha Jnana Manjari. Krishna continues, a person who with a sober mind continuously utters these confidential holy names achieves the perfection of divine knowledge and in the end reaches the supreme destination. Now, those of you who know Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, Krishna gives you what I call the options plan. He says, "If here's the topmost, always think of me." Okay, you can't do that. Then practice the rules of bhakti. Oh, you can't do that, then do this. Oh, you can't do this, do this. He gives you five options. So listen to how great a God is Krishna. He's the greatest. He's the coolest. He's the most everything. Listen to what he says. One should recite at least half the Gita. If one is unable to recite all of the Gita, then just one half. Then, without a doubt, one achieves piety, which is accrued from donating cows in charity to worthy recipients. One will achieve the fruit of the soma sacrifice by reciting one third of Bhagavad Gita. How many chapters in Bhagavad Gita? So one third is six. And Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita is three sections of six. Of those three sections, who knows the most important of those three sections? Nine. The middle six. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That section of the Gita, most important. The first six chapters and the last six chapters are like protective coverings for those middle six, which is confidential, most confidential knowledge, but it's six chapters. And the result of bathing in the holy river Ganga is achieved by uttering one-sixth of the Gita. So that's only three chapters. So you don't have to go to India. Right? You go to India, take bath, and just read three chapters of Bhagavad. Wow. It costs a lot of money to go to India. I can bathe in the Ganges every day, several times a day. One who regularly recites two of his chapters with full conviction will without a doubt attain to the residence in the planet of Lord Indra for one millennium, a day of Brahma. And that's millions of years. That's just two chapters. And you want to know the two shortest chapters? 12 and 15. Those are the shortest. So I'm giving you lots of hints here. In fact, you can recite the 15th chapter in about 5 minutes. Same with chapter 12, if you're concentrated. Oh, Krishna is great. One who recites with devotion one chapter daily, that's the kicker, daily, is perpetually taken to be on par with the gods known as Rudra, and thus attains to the planet of Lord Shiva. So one chapter a day. Oh, Krishna, you're too much. A person who regularly recites a half or a quarter chapter will achieve residence on the sun planet. Don't worry, you won't burn up. because you'll get a sun body. Don't worry. And you'll stay there for the lifetime of 100 manus. Oh, Krishna's not done. A person who faithfully recites 10, 7, 5, 3, 2, 1, or even a half a verse will attain to the residence on the moon for 10,000 years. I think we did a verse previously. You're going to the moon. So tell NASA they're wasting their money. Just read a verse of Bhagavad Gita. You're going to the moon. Uh-oh. As usual. Well.
I know, I'm just telling.
Anyway, are you on top of it? Okay. Technical difficulties. We'll be back with you shortly. One who at the time of death remembers half the Gita, a quarter of the Gita, one chapter of the Gita, or even one verse will reach the supreme destination. What's the supreme destination? Goloka Vrindavan, not Las Vegas. By uttering or hearing the purport of the Gita at the time of death, even a gravely sinful person becomes entitled to liberation. One who has a devotional connection with Bhagavad Gita will, at the time of death, attain to Vaikuntha and reside with the Supreme Lord Vishnu in divine ecstasy. One whose concentration is intent on just one chapter of the Gita will attain a birth after death, and by again studying the Gita, one achieves ultimate liberation. Even if at the time of death one simply utters the word Gita, everybody say, will achieve a happy destination. Wow. Is Krishna the greatest or what? Certainly, all actions are performed along with the recitation of Bhagavad Gita, and one becomes purified and then accomplished to perfection. A person who recites the Gita satisfies the forefathers who all depart from hell and they ascend to heaven. The forefathers, having been offered libations by the recitation of the Gita, offer that sun blessings and ascend to the heavenly planet known as Pitriloka. To make a gift presentation of a book of the Gita along with a yak-tail whisk enables a man to achieve complete success on that day. One who donates a gold-bound Gita to a learned Brahmin never takes birth again in the material world. One who donates in charity 100 copies of Bhagavad Gita attains to a plane of the Absolute. Vijay, you have distributed thousands of Bhagavad Gitas. Do you have 100 copies with you?
Not today.
Do you have 100 copies of Gita? How many in the case?
24.
We need 100. Somebody's going to buy 100 today because they're going to go to the spiritual world. I see. All right, you're taking orders, right? All right, so raise your hand so they know who you are. There he is. So anybody who wants 100 copies of the Gita, he'll take your order. And you will deliver it personally? So you are the transcendental UPS man? Very good. The potency of presenting the Gita as a gift is such that the soul, having achieved a place in the planet of Lord Vishnu for a period of 7 millenniums, then associates with that Supreme Lord Vishnu in divine ecstasy. A person fulfills all aspirations by pleasing the Supreme Lord if, after fully hearing the purport of Bhagavad Gita, presents the book as a gift to a Brahmin. And the verse that we chanted last time is the purport of the Gita, that everyone should surrender to Krishna exclusively. Let's do it again. Please, oh, no, wait. I'm the captain of the ship. Are you ready? Repeat after me. Sarvadhamman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja ahantang sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami masuchah. For those who didn't get it the first time, Krishna in that verse is saying that we should completely, utterly, totally, exclusively surrender to Him. And if we do that, Krishna says, I personally will deliver you from your karmic bank account, good and bad. Somebody may say, wait, Krishna is going to take away my good, but yes. Because if you still want your good bank account, you have to come back and take birth again. So you want Krishna to take your good bank account as well as your bad karma bank account, so that you don't come back to Northridge or wherever you live, but that you go to His abode. That's the idea. Krishna says, don't hesitate, don't worry, don't fear. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra, please. Hari, you're ready to sing?